It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life with your host, Alan Gervie. Alan is the managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie & Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm which has represented injured workers for over 35 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
Hi, I am Alan Gervie, and this is Gervie's Law. How's my voice sounding, Michelle?
Pretty good, but not as good as our guest that we have.
You're giving it away. But I'll tell you, when I first started doing this show about 12 years ago, people would see me, they'd come into the studio, they'd see me, and they'd say, "You have a face for radio." I will tell you, though, the handsome devil sitting across from me has both the face, the voice, and more importantly, the personality. He is one of the greatest guys that I have ever met. And, you know, a lot of people think of Rick Neuheisel. Do you know who Rick Neuheisel is?
No.
Okay. I didn't think so. They think of him as Mr. UCLA. And have you heard of Jerry Neuheisel?
No.
What do you think the relationship is?
Father-son.
Very good. And we're going to talk about that because what people don't understand, Michelle, is Rick Neuheisel isn't Mr. UCLA. It is Chuck White. Now, Chuck White is the voice of the Bruins, football and basketball, the public address announcer for both teams and for the Rose Bowl. Have you ever watched a Rose Bowl?
Yes, that's the stadium, right?
Rose Bowl Stadium. You go on Sunday morning and you just stand there and you look at the stadium. So you watched a Rose Bowl.
They have a flea market there every Sunday.
They do have a flea market
there. Maybe I should do a flea market once in a while. Ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, the flea market is open. Thank you.
The flea market is open. So, Michelle, you're close to college age, just a little bit older. Have you ever heard of a football game?
I've been to a couple tailgates, sure.
Yeah, tailgates. That's what it's all about. What about a football game called the Rose Bowl?
I have not been to a Rose Bowl football game, but I do know there's a lot of hype around those events.
Lots of hype, Alan.
Lots of hype. Lot of insight.
It's all about the hype.
From the younger generation.
Yeah.
Can you imagine announcing Rick Neuheisel versus Drew Brees in 2001 at the Rose Bowl?
That must have been crazy.
It was nuts.
Ask Chuck White, and I want to welcome Chuck to Gervie's Law. We're having a little banter here, but the official welcome of the great Chuck White. Thank you for being with us today, Chuck.
It is an honor to be with you, Alan, and also you, Michelle. Thank you.
Tell Michelle what it was like. She said it was crazy, and that's how she said it, with that inflection.
Yes.
Your first Rose Bowl, Rick Neuheisel versus
awesome.
Drew Brees.
Well, I should clarify, Rick Neuheisel was the coach of that game,
right.
And actually it was Marcus Tuiasosopo, who was the quarterback of the Washington Huskies in that particular game.
Right, and the only reason I say Rick Neuheisel is because Jerry Neuheisel was in the news, as the play caller, offensive coordinator, what do you want to call it, for UCLA at 33 years old. We're going to talk about the big upset against Penn State. But tell us about, you love saying those names. First of all, you can tell us about what it was like at the Rose Bowl. And then I want to talk about some names because you brought up, can't repeat it. Michelle, can you say the quarterback for the Huskies?
I cannot.
How about one now? How about our new guy?
Go ahead.
Nico Iamaleava.
Nico Iamaleava.
Close, not quite. And if Nico Iamaleava tosses the ball to his receiver named Titus Mokiau Atimalala, you really got deal. You got a big problem there. That's where it could be very tough.
Okay, we'll get back to the first Rose Bowl that you did, but I got to go on this. How do you prepare with names like that? And they've gotten crazier. I mean, I remember in the olden days, O.J. Simpson, just two letters,
sure.
O.J., Simpson, really easy pronounce, but a lot of Hawaiian guys, a lot of people from different parts of the country.
You can never, as a public address announcer, you can never really win, Alan. I remember we had a player receiver named Jim McElroy, very competent receiver at UCLA, last name McElroy. I came up to him to confirm his name. I said, "Jim, how do you pronounce your last name?" He said, "McElroy." I passed by his dad. I said, "Hi, Mr. McElroy." He said, "It's McElroy." What? You've got to be kidding me.
That's hilarious.
You can't win.
I've been meaning to ask you this, and I have to say with all disclosure that I've known Chuck for a long time, and we're actually friends. Can we be?
We are friends. Yes, that is correct.
Yes, and yes. We've golfed together, and we're going to talk about his illustrious golf career as well. But one of the things I've always wanted to ask you, has the great Chuck White ever mispronounced a name the loudspeaker?
Oh, you bet.
And
I've actually sworn over the loudspeaker,
really?
Which is, oh, yeah, and I was caught. But it was a game, a nondescript UCLA game maybe 20 years ago, and our running back at the time, Eric Ball, a great running back, had fumbled the ball.
Say.
Yeah, Eric Ball. We love that name. Don't you love that, Michelle?
Eric Ball.
Perfect.
What he's not telling you is after the game, he went up to Eric Ball's father and he said, it's Bale.
Could be. Well, anyway, Eric had a tough day. I think he had three fumbles on the game and he was going for four and he fumbled the ball and I had my hand on the on button. And whatever you do, Alan, in public address announcing, keep your hand off that button. This is just a rule of thumb. And I just said, damn. Over the loudspeaker at the road. Damn. This is a big...
You know, Art,
Hoover Dam.
Can we say damn, yes. Art? So you're not... he's got his hand on the button, Art.
Thank you,
always.
Art. I appreciate it.
He said it's good to go.
It's good to go. Good. Clear. We can clean that up in post.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you. Anyway, so, you know, you say damn over, you know, there's 75,000 people there. And immediately I realized my error and I was scared half to death. I went downstairs later after the game, saw Bob Toledo, the head coach. Nobody said anything except Coach Toledo. He came up to me and he said, Chuck, did something happen there in the third quarter? Did I miss something there? Caught, you know, red-handed with the damn word. Yes.
You haven't answered my question,
yes,
Chuck.
Well, I'm...
What names have you mispronounced?
You know, Iamaleava is a great name. So far, so good this season.
Yeah.
You know, but there have been a few. Tuiasosopo was a tough one. I kind of blew that a couple times in 1999, by the way. That game was in 99, I believe, the Purdue-Washington game, which Washington won. It was one of Rick Neuheisel's greatest wins.
I think it was 2001, but go ahead.
Well, you're good. You're good then, man. You're better than me. But I was there, I can tell you.
I'm a lawyer. I do research.
Well, it was a great game. Sensational. But, occasionally these things come up and you just roll on, man. You know, in basketball, it can occur too. We had a guy, Luke Richard Mbah Mute, great name. But I still hear it to this day mispronounced.
Yeah.
And Luke Richard likes it pronounced a certain way. And, you know, a couple times it was Luke Richard.
And
you
know, that was
not good.
He was a good player.
Great player.
You know?
Great player. Great NBA career.
Yeah, he did have an NBA career. Was he with the Raptors or no?
That's a good question. Luke. I don't know.
No,
I'm
thinking of Tracy Murray.
You're thinking of Tracy Murray. You have Tracy on the mind. Norman Powell was on the Raptors,
that's
of course.
True.
Kawhi Leonard.
Norman Powell. And I don't want to say something because you say anything and you know me.
Yes.
I can tell a story.
Truth.
So on my son's, Hudson's, I think it was his 8th birthday, and I took Hudson and Harper. I had season tickets for the Clippers. And they gave me front row seats, and we could because it was his birthday.
Wow.
So I took the two kids down. All the players were warming up. They see these two cute kids, and I'm saying they're cute because they are, and they're wearing, you know, Clipper stuff. Norman Powell, on his own, walks over to Hudson and says, I heard it was your birthday.
Whoa.
Happy birthday. And then he said, can I sign your jersey?
Is that awesome?
And he signed the jersey. It was a number 13 George, who, you know, was the new, they had acquired him.
And, right. Paul George. Yeah.
And he signed it on the back. And Norman Powell said to me, he looked at me, he said, hey, you want to take some pictures with me? I said, I would love to. I've got the greatest picture. What a guy. Why are all athletes like that? And you know what the amazing part is? Hudson still wears that Clippers jersey with the 13, and people come up to him all the time and said, I can't believe you got Paul George's autograph.
That is so awesome.
Because they don't read it. Norman.
But that is Norman. You know, he practices random acts of kindness. He just does things out of the way he does. He was a four-year player at UCLA. I was fortunate to do all of his games.
And are there guys who are really mean who you want to talk about?
No, I don't want to talk about them. But you're badgering the witness, Alan, I can tell you. And maybe Michelle will too. I'm afraid of this. Yes.
She's
okay. I got two lawyers in the room.
She's a Wisconsin, a Wisconsin badger right
well,
here.
Exactly. We're at Camp Randall, aren't we? Does she know what Camp Randall is?
Ask
no.
her.
Do you know what Camp Randall is?
What is Camp Randall?
It's a large building where people sit and drink lots of beer. That's what they do there.
Oh, yes. Well, that's every sporting event.
That's true. Okay. That's absolutely true. Yeah.
You know what? As someone who doesn't necessarily watch a lot of sports, I do appreciate the community, the camaraderie, the energy that is brought to every sporting event that I have attended against my will.
Against your will? Is it just something
kidding.
You tolerate or, you know?
No. I'm being genuine when I say I do appreciate the energy and the community that sporting brings. And so I know you had a golfing career, right?
I did.
How old were you when you started
Thank
that?
Thank you. That was a seg.
He still
I like
one.
That. Yeah, yeah.
How old were you when you started that?
9 years old.
Wow.
9 years old. I was a kid in Long Beach, California, and loved golf and played the public courses in Long Beach.
Michelle, yeah. I have a question for you.
Yes.
Who is Tom Watson?
I don't know.
It's not a Sherlock Holmes character?
Could be. I don't know.
You have no idea. One of the greatest golfers who ever played golf. And guess who played against him at UCLA when he was at Stanford?
You're kidding.
Oh, yeah. You know, we played with a lot of great players. Tom Watson, actually, I broke Tom Watson's record up at Stanford University. He held the tournament record at the U.S. Intercollegiate Championship. I beat Tom's record. But I played, my generation was mostly guys like John Cook, Mark O'Meara, Duffy Waldorf, my teammates
and
at UCLA.
And Corey Pavin.
Oh, yeah, that guy too, the
he
little
was
guy.
Your teammate.
Yeah, yeah, he's really good.
These are before your time.
I see.
We're going deep in the archives here.
Nice. Yeah.
Can you name a golfer? I don't want to test
Tiger
you or anything.
Woods?
Yes.
No, one that is playing right now.
Ooh, Trump's daughter, Kaya Trump? Right.
I don't know what tour she's playing on.
She plays.
But yeah, she's somewhere, really. Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
I was thinking maybe Scottie Scheffler.
yeah.
Let's talk about something
Kelly
really. Go ahead.
Yeah, nothing. No,
nothing,
ahead.
Nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
Something really important, something that probably you thought you wouldn't see at least in the next little bit. What happens when a team who is 0-4 beats the number 7 seed in the country, and you announced that game.
It is chaos and pandemonium, and we love it. We absolutely love it. We had 40,000 people at the Rose Bowl, Alan and Michelle. It was awesome. This beautiful stadium.
And by the way, probably could have been a lot more if UCLA Bruins had been having a good season.
Correct. To understand the magnitude of this victory, and by the way,
tell them what the victory is, because some people may not know what you're talking
about. So UCLA defeated the number 7 Penn State Nittany Lions on Saturday in really what will become one of the iconic comeback games, kind of the Rudy story of college football.
Of course,
football.
It was on Saturday. College football is played on Saturday.
Oh, that's right.
But
that's right. Yeah, it was a beautiful environment. So, you know, you walk into that game. Now, UCLA at the time had lost 4 in a row. We had fired our coach. We had fired our defensive coordinator. We had fired our offensive coordinator. We have a ragtag group of coaches who have now come in, and they're trying to piece something together with our players. And all of a sudden, magic occurs. And it was indeed magic. I have no idea how they won that football game. I'm still looking. It's just unbelievable.
There were a lot of good plays. I saw the game, and I will tell you that, you know, in the first half, it looked like it was just going to be a rout.
Totally.
And then, you know, then you get scared in the second half when Penn
That's
State
right.
starts. And I don't know if it's Penn State's not as good as they are ranked or UCLA is better than their 0-4 at the time. Record.
Well, if you look at statistics, and, you know, we like to look at statistics. So, you know, UCLA ranked in the bottom in both defense and offense statistically as a team in the United States. This is awful. And you're facing this incredible juggernaut that is Penn State University. And coming into the Rose Bowl, we just lost to New Mexico, the University of New Mexico Lobos, hardly what I would call a juggernaut of a football program, and had lost to UNLV the week before in Las Vegas. So we're not exactly on a high here, and we just fired our coaches. So now we're really in trouble. We think. And then all of a sudden, the tables turn. A young man named Jerry Neuheisel takes possession of the offense.
Do you remember him, Michelle?
Newhall?
Newhall is a city just north of Los Angeles.
Neuheisel. We just talked about Jerry. She's got it.
But yeah,
so I would make a horrible announcer, by the way.
Oh my gosh.
I want to make something clear.
Meaningless information here, but no, go ahead.
I just want to make something clear because I'm not making fun of her. She could say things that I would have no clue about. I will tell you, you know, she talks about stuff that she's interested in, like Prada and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, the fashion design. The devil wears.
TikTok and all that
stuff. Like, did you just see Jonathan Anderson's debut with Christian Dior?
I missed that.
I don't know who Jonathan
is. Am I not the demographic?
You know what? It might be more interesting if they had announcers like you on the runway.
Thank you.
Can we just do that?
Ladies and gentlemen, now approaching the runway. You know, runway model number 338.
Michelle Lobato.
Yeah. Michelle Lobato with the purse in hand. There she is, the Prada purse.
See, you can make anything sound
interesting. 5'6", 123 pounds.
Yeah, that's it, right there.
I would love that. We should totally do that, actually.
Okay, let's get back to this crazy upset.
Yes, this is nutty. So I kind of had the feeling things were going our way when UCLA does a perfect onside kick. You may remember the onside kick.
I do.
By Mateen Bagani, another great name.
It's a dying art.
It is.
And pronouncing his name is also a dying
art.
That
is true. You know, but Mateen Bagani, this guy's a cool dude. And great kicker from Cal. We got him from Cal. He's an all-star, superstar player.
So he went down in his academics, so he ended up at UCLA.
Are you serious? Are you saying that, Alan? How dare you? That's you know, funny. UCLA, we are the number one public university in the nation, by the way. I want to point that out.
If my children went to UCLA, I would be honored.
Truth, right there.
Go ahead.
So, but Mateen Bagani, great onside kick, recovered by the Bruins, and we just take it down the field and just beat up on the Penn State Nittany Lions. But there was another moment that was missed in that sequence that just blew my mind. UCLA was setting up at the line of scrimmage, and our big offensive lineman, Uribe, takes off his... He has a little thing over his leg to protect his leg, kind of a knee guard, shin guard thing, and throws it in the air, 40 feet in the air, and just throws it to the sideline. And it was a statement, Alan. He was saying, we are not messing around today.
That's funny.
Throwing off the leg guard, and we are going to town, and we are going to beat
Penn State. Did you announce that within
the Rose
Bowl? Of course
not. No. But it was so obvious. If you look at this replay, 40 feet in the air, this knee brace off, flying in the air. People who were there will remember this. It's very cool.
Of course not. You didn't... you know, announce that. Why did you not?
I was afraid. I have great fear and hesitation at the mic. And, you know,
Let me explain something for a second, because I think Chuck is too much of a gentleman to do
Thank
so. He's not the play-by-play announcer.
Okay.
So it's not on TV. You know, he's not saying, he shoots, he scores.
Okay.
Although we do a little bit of that, for sure. And I was Harry hysterical on Saturday. I will admit it. Extremely biased, ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, you are biased.
Yes, completely. And I admit it. You know,
but with your voice, it comes across more balanced.
Official. It's official.
So,
maybe wrong, but it's official.
A couple follow up quick questions, as lawyers tend to do. Jerry Neuheisel, how much of a part did he have in it? You know, because he didn't have the experience calling plays.
True.
And all of a sudden, he's up against number 7, the great Nittany Lions, Joe Paterno, Brown University graduate, by the way.
Really?
Yes.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's why Brown has played Penn State twice in their history and gotten killed both times.
Whoa.
But I digress. Let's talk about Jerry Neuheisel. Is he the real deal? Is he the next head coach of the UCLA Bruins?
Wow. What a question. I have no idea. But what I can tell you is it was a magical Saturday. So Jerry, if you can imagine this, Jerry gets the job 3 to 4 days ahead of the game.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me, man? And he's got to put a team together and an offensive scheme together playing the number 7 team in the United States. This is outrageous. Who can do this? The young man took the task to heart. He had 3 hours of sleep in those 3 days leading up to the game. He totally put himself into that moment. What a great opportunity. Instead of looking at it as a negative, he took it as a positive. Turned it inside out. The results are on the field. And what he called in that game, some of the calls he made were unbelievable. And it doesn't hurt when you have Nico Iamaleava. Thank you.
Ooh.
That's easy for you to say. First time I've missed that one. You know.
So is this guy like the real life Ted Lasso? Have you seen that TV show?
Could be.
Okay.
Although Ted, you know, really didn't have the smarts of the soccer game. I tell you what, I think Jerry's been waiting for this his whole life.
Nice.
Is he a better choice than Deshaun Foster was?
Listen, you want me to throw Deshaun Foster under the bus? Is that what you're doing?
Are you friends with him?
I love Deshaun Foster. I called all of Deshaun's games
back in
the day.
And how many games was he a head coach for before he took this gig?
That would be zero.
There you go.
Okay, good.
And is that Martin Jarmond's fault?
Well, his name is Martin Jarmond. But,
that's what I said.
Thank you.
But yeah, I pronounce things right. I don't know about you.
Well, thank you. No, you know, it ain't easy being green. This is a tough job.
Martin's job?
Yes, Martin's job's a tough job, man. So think of it this way. It's very difficult. A guy named Chip Kelly's your coach.
Yes.
Yeah, and he leaves town on a rail. What the hell?
Didn't Martin have something to do with that?
Well, I don't know. Chip was 500 as a coach at UCLA. That's not very good.
But he had a good name.
He sure did. Nice name. Yeah.
And what's he doing now?
He's coaching the Las Vegas Raiders.
And he's very successful.
No, they're not. They're 1-4. They're not playing well at all.
That's because of Pete Carroll.
Oh,
the USC
guy. Thank you. I agree with that.
The Whales say that they need to get rid of MJ.
Yeah. Well, there's all sorts of talk.
You know who Whales are, by the way?
What are the big donors?
That's it.
Yes. So,
did you know that?
I was picturing Whales.
Yeah, one day you will be a whale.
Hopefully.
That's cool. Wow.
Hopefully.
Okay. That's true. That's
exactly
right.
They want to get rid of MJ.
Yes. Everybody's blaming everybody for this demise and this kind of stuff. This is crazy. You know, we've entered a new era of college athletics with NIL changing conferences. For goodness sakes, Cal and Stanford are playing in the ACC. They're flying 3,000 miles every trip.
I know.
It's a whole new world. And by the way, I think the rules are being made up as we go. You know, NIL, who's funding this stuff? I have no idea.
Well, it's all about the money.
Yes, it is. Where's the money coming from, Alan? I don't know. You know, and who's putting together these NIL consortiums? And are they nonprofits? No. Who knows? It's a whole new world. Now, that said, I go back to Saturday, Alan.
And you know about money, by the way.
Oh, I know so much about money.
Because he's a banker.
I'm a banker by day. We sit there with a little green thing over our visor and count money all day. That's right.
And you give out loans.
We do.
When you should
give out? I don't know about give out, but certainly we execute loans. And frankly, as the great John McKay once said, when his team was underperforming, he said, what do you think of your team's execution? And he said, yes, I think they all should be executed.
Right.
Yes.
Are there any skills in your finance job that transfer over to your announcing?
Absolutely none. Zero. it's the ultimate dichotomy of life and things.
He's not being honest. Some of the former players for the Bruins, and there's a lot of them in both basketball and football in the pros, he gets to know them because he's thinking in the back of their mind when they sign these huge contracts.
True.
He's going to manage, get them to his bank.
Well, very true.
So you are a whale.
Yeah, in some respects, yes. Thank you.
He spouts out a lot.
Yeah, I do. Exactly. I'm off the coast of Maui at times, and then I'll move to other parts of the Pacific. Thank you. It's a whole new, brave new world with this whole money thing with kids and players. And I think things are going to change, Alan. I really do. I think it's kind of gone the opposite way. We've gone this way, and the other way was too much in favor of the schools and the NCAA. And now we've gone to the other side, where suddenly it's... And by the way, is there a school involved in any of this? And actually an education? And I seem to be losing this thought on this.
Excellent point. Excellent point. And you know, unfortunately, the education, I think, suffers, and it's just become a professional pursuit. And... I can say one thing, though. To you, you love the games so much, and I say games, basketball, football, what have you, and you love announcing them. So you bring that fresh approach, like, who cares about the money?
Correct.
I'm just here to make sure that everyone enjoys the entertainment on the field.
Absolutely true. You know, I'm going to be doing a few Clippers games coming up. I hope to see you there, which is going to be fun.
If you are doing a Clipper game that I'm at, is it possible for me to say hello? Or are you going to pretend you don't know me?
I will be very cool and pretend I don't know you. Yes, and if Michelle comes over, you bet.
Nice.
I'm saying hello.
They have a new and improved stadium, too.
New and improved.
New and improved.
Oh, my goodness.
It's been open for a while.
I love
that.
I
think it's called the SoFi, right?
SoFi.
It is called Intuit.
Intuit Dome.
He's into it.
Yeah, this is in. I'm really into it.
I am looking forward to the Vikings Chargers game at the SoFi Stadium.
That's going to be a cool day.
Yes.
And it's going to be a great
day.
And
game. I'm going to Philadelphia. I mean, going to Minneapolis to see the Eagles game.
No
my
kidding?
Son is very lucky. He's getting two Vikings games in a row. Anyway,
cool.
I digress. Chuck, it's been such a pleasure having you here. I'm hoping to see you in a couple of weeks on the golf course.
You will.
And you're going to pledge to bring Tracy Murray with you.
Tracy, the great Bruin, a former Toronto Raptor who you love, will be there with us.
Go
it's going to be great.
And go Michelle, Blue Jays?
Oh, go Blue Jays, too.
And Michelle?
Michelle's going to be there, too. She's a tremendous player. Right?
Yeah.
We're going to have fun.
You are going to see a professional golfer when you see Chuck White.
Whoa.
And let's all cheer for UCLA, unless you're a USC fan.
Go Bruins.
For the rest of the season. Chuck, thanks for being on Gervie's
Lot
today.
Thank you, Alan. Thanks, Michelle.
Next week, we will be right here for another show of Gervie's Law.
This show is pre-recorded and furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.